Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service here at First Colony. Ignore this for just a moment. Let me talk to you about a couple of things coming up over the next two or three weeks. We are three weekends away from Winter's Eve, and there are three presentations of our Christmas program this year on Saturday evening, December 11, and then two presentations on Sunday, December the 12th. And the more the merrier. So it's a program not just for you, but for anybody that you'd like to invite somebody to come with you, or send them to our church website, firstcolonychurch.org. You can purchase tickets online. For those of you who are here this morning, you want to buy your tickets today, they're for sale in the lobby. It's going to be a fantastic program. The First Colony course will have a presentation, and then there's a play called Rudolph, going to be a lot of fun. And so that's coming up three weekends away. Now, 2 weeks from today, Sunday, December the 5th, you see a handout in your order of worship, Care and Share Christmas Toy and Food Drive. Every year we do something like this, and this year, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to ask everybody in the church to participate in some way. This is the beauty of church. This is the power of church, where everybody does a little something. We pool our resources, and together we're able to accomplish more than what any one of us could do. It's not a burden on any one person. Everybody participates. Everybody contributes. And here's what you can do. We're asking everybody 2 weeks from today to bring a sack of goodies with you. Cereal. Rice, peanut butter, macaroni and cheese, dry beans. This is the most attentive you folks have been in years. It's incredible. Rapt attention. What's he going to pull out next? Baby food. Okay, baby. All right, there you go. Play-Doh. Okay, so on your handout, you see, how much can I bring? If you want to. You want to bring some dried beans? Bring some dried beans. You want to bring all of this? You see a list of suggested items, suggested food items at the bottom of the handout, and then suggested toy items for various age groups. Bring what you can, and then here's what we'll do. We're going to collect it in our service. I mean, in our service, 2 weeks from today, on December the 5th, we'll have a time where we just ask everybody to bring your sack offering to the front. And you just sort of come on down. If you're solo, come solo. If you got your kids, grandkids, bring them on down. And we'll just put all that we collect up here on the stage, and it will be distributed to Second Mile Mission that afternoon. Okay? Fair enough? Can we do this? Can we do this? Yes? Okay. We great. Okay. Again, non-message series today, just a message today called Dare to Not Compare. Now, I fully understand that there are all kinds of, there is a type of good comparing. There is a type of good comparison where you look at another person and it's educational, it's inspirational as you look at how that person lives their life, or you watch how that person deals with a particular adversity or difficulty, and you are inspired. You are inspired to be an overcomer just like that person has been an overcomer. But most of the time, listen carefully, most of the time, comparing creates discouragement. Comparing fuels feelings that are negative about yourself. You just start beating yourself up. You start beating other people up, and listen carefully, you start beating God up. I do not want you to be a captive to comparison. imprisoned by tormenting thoughts of inadequacy and failure, listen, just because another person is more than you in some way. There will always be somebody who is more than you. There will always be somebody who is less than you in some way. God does not compare you with anyone else. Let me say that again. God does not compare you with anyone else. And He doesn't want you to be obsessed with how you stack up, how you compare with others. God asks you to be faithful to Him. God asks you to be faithful to Him based on your opportunities, your abilities, your assignments. But we inevitably and invariably compare our situation with what looks like greener grass with someone else who may be, quote unquote, better off than we are. So we decide how we're going to feel about ourselves. You know, how am I going to feel about myself today? Well, let me do the comparison game. And if somebody makes more money than I do, or they've got more house than I do, or they're better looking, or they're more talented, or maybe you compare, you know, your ministry, how you serve God. You compare your job. You compare how you're treated. Do I get enough attention, strokes? There is some area in your life where you are especially susceptible to comparing yourself with other people. Congratulations. If you're really into comparisons, congratulations. You have discovered the secret to never, ever being satisfied with your life. That's not a fun way to go. Now, this morning, we're going to look at a particular scene in the Bible where this issue of comparison affected the relationship between the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John. And we're going to see how Jesus dealt with it, okay? Now, the scene that we're about to read here in just a moment, let me set it up. It's after the resurrection of Jesus, okay? So Jesus has now been raised from the dead. Peter, as you may recall, folded and wilted under pressure. You remember that? He denied Jesus. How many times? Three times. He even cursed when he did so. Peter was very sorry, and Jesus is more than willing to forgive him and restore him. But there is some unfinished business, and Jesus is taking care of that unfinished business. He is now in the process of restoring Peter and helping to make him into the formidable man and formidable influence that he will be. Okay, so here we go, John 21. Here's the scene. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Well, then take care of my sheep. And the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? You know, Peter denies him three times. Jesus gives Peter three opportunities to come back and declare his love. And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Let me just make a brief comment here. You ready? You are absolutely worthless to Jesus unless you love him first. Can I be clearer? You are absolutely worthless in service to Jesus unless you love him first. First, supreme. Nothing is right in your life unless you love Jesus first. Everything is right in your life if you're loving him first. All right, so Peter proclaims, Lord, you know I love you. Well, now, Jesus will proceed to explain to Peter what his future will look like. He's going to explain to Peter how he will die. I don't know that I would want that information. But Jesus gives that information to Peter specifically because Peter has done what? Peter has folded under pressure. And now Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, you've got more pressure down the line. In fact, you're going to die a martyr's death. And if you are unwilling to suffer for me, If you are unwilling to experience hardship for me, Peter, you might as well bail out now because you got more trouble coming. And here's what happens. Verse 18, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands, someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, and then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. That is the summary ministry statement of Jesus to you. What's Jesus want from me? Answer, follow me. Follow him. He says, Peter, you're going to die a bad death. If you're still afraid of suffering for me, if when the chips are down, you're still planning to bail out, you might as well go ahead and do it now because here's what's in your future. How does Peter react? Verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Question, who's the disciple whom Jesus loved? Answer, the Apostle John. That's a description of John. It's basically, you know, he was a favorite of Jesus. He just was. And so Peter turns and he looks at John and he said, verse 21, well, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Hey, you remember the movie, What About Bob? Well, if you're making a movie on this story, it's, you know, what about John? Well, what about John? In other words, Peter is saying, Lord, would you mind encouraging me that you will be a great encouragement to me if you will tell me that John's life will be as difficult as mine. Make my life better by making his life worse. And Lord, I don't mind suffering for the cause as long as John suffers too. So would you make my life better by making his worse? Now, before we get all holy and puffed up against Peter for saying this, we've all felt it. You felt it and I felt it. John and I are doing, Jesus, let me get this straight. John and I are doing the very same ministry. I'm going to be a martyr. What about him? We're doing the same thing. We're getting different results. That's not fair. Same ministry, different response. That's not fair. Lord, what about John? And Jesus is very, very clear. Peter, forget John. Put your eyes on me. Follow me. Jesus has absolutely no sympathy whatsoever for Peter's game of compare, and that's not fair. Peter, what business is it of yours what I do in another person's life? Stop being obsessed with the lives of other people. You put your eyes on me and you follow me. Okay? So there's the story. Now, let's walk through some points. You've got your handout. If you want to fill in some blanks, here we go. Point number one, why comparisons are dangerous. Comparisons are dangerous because comparisons tend to produce superiority or inferiority. In other words, comparisons tend to disconnect us from others because there's always somebody who's more than or less than you. And if they are more than and you're playing the comparison game, when you're around them, you're going to feel depleted and depressed, and your tendency will be to withdraw. If you play the compare game and you sense you're winning, then you may be contentious and dismissive of that person. But either way, the cord of brotherly love gets sliced. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 these words. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Secondly, unhealthy comparisons tend They lead to negative feelings about you, about others, and about God. Comparisons open the door to so much consternation of the soul. When you compare in a destructive way, you know this, you beat yourself up. When you compare in a destructive way, you begin to resent other people, and the only thing that other person has done to you is have a life that you want. Some of you right now, this morning, you have an attitude about someone, and the only thing that person has done to you is have a life you envy. You're comparing what you know about your life to what you surmise about their life, and you've concluded that you're losing. And all of these negative comparisons are like tiny little devils on your shoulder whispering in your ear. And also, when you compare, there's always this implicit accusation against God. God, what about John? God, I think you've done me wrong. And I think I'm getting the short end of the stick here. So there's some things I want you to consider. I want you to consider that Jesus really does have little sympathy for compared despair. Very little sympathy. Remember what he said to Peter? Peter, if I decide that I want to bless John with an incredible lifespan where he never ages beyond 30, he spends his days in a Swiss chalet. That has nothing to do with you. Peter, that's not your assignment. That's John's assignment. And the most gracious thing Jesus could do to Peter was not show him sympathy regarding his compared despair. He did not look Peter in the eye and say, Peter, I know you're feeling vulnerable now. Let me make you feel better. He said, Peter, you are called to martyrdom. And if John wins the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, what's that to you? He allowed Peter no room for self-pity. And this rebuke was absolutely the most loving thing Jesus could have said to Peter, because sinful comparisons are futile and they are self-destructive. They rob you of joy. They rob you of peace. It distorts our view of a wise and good and loving God. And Jesus loves Peter, and so he is protecting him from this kind of destructive comparing. I want to remind you also that nobody, absolutely no one, has the whole package. And when you tend to look at a person and think, oh, yes, they do. That person, they got it all. Here I am on the outside looking in. They've got the entire package. No, they do not. No person has the whole package. And usually when we struggle with comparisons, we're comparing a weak area of ours to a strength in another person. I want to remind you also that everybody has pain. In our culture, we love to one-dimensionalize people. You know, we just sort of like to look at a person and just put a label on them. Rich, pretty, powerful. And we want to reach in and grab that one dimension of that person for ourselves. But if you want their gift, you must take their pain, because every single person has pain. And if you want their reward, you must also take their price. And so if you go out looking to compare and you find a face or a pocketbook or a position, you don't just get the face, you don't just get the pocketbook, you get the position. You get the pain, you get the price as well. Everybody has pain. Nobody has the whole package. Everybody has pain. And I want you to consider this as well. When you compare, it blinds you to your own opportunities and your own options as of today. And so that's why I want to really urge you today to quit worrying about how you stack up against other people. Figure out what's important to you and pour your energy into that. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Stop worrying about how you stack up to John. You just turn your eyes toward me and follow me. And I want to encourage you to get to the place where you hold a very, very high opinion of yourself based on the fact that God created you. based on the fact that God deems you worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus, based on the fact that your physical body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and based on the fact that God has gifted you uniquely to be His instrument in the world. So, how can we overcome compared despair? How can we sort of free ourselves from unhealthy comparisons? First of all, give God permission to gift and use others differently than you. He doesn't need your permission, but go ahead and do it. Say, God, it's okay for you to bless that person more than me. That's okay. It's just fine for you to bless that ministry more than you bless ours. That's okay. It's fine for you to use that person or use that differently. That's okay. That's all right. You trust God with other people. And if they're blessed, let them be blessed. And if they're not blessed, pray for them. I urge you to be a giver, to be an encourager, to be generous in your spirit, to be the kind of person who is the first person to say congratulations. And that as difficult as it is, when you've gone to one fertility specialist after another, when those friends of yours get the news that they're expecting, for you to be the person who, maybe through your own tears, you say, but I do rejoice with you. Congratulations. Be big-hearted. Be big-spirited. God can use people like that. And let me say something that may be painful. We all want God to bless us, but did you know that you being upset with how God uses another person could be the very attitude that gets in the way of God using you more effectively? I hope you'll be the first person to get excited about the good news and good fortune of another person. So give God permission to use other people differently than He uses you, to bless others even more than He blesses you. Secondly, be thankful for who you are, what you are, where you are as of today. Who you are, what you are, and where you are as of today. You know, this is Thanksgiving week, and gratitude is really a grace attitude. You will never have a problem being thankful if you understand that nothing you have, you deserve. May I say that again? You will never have a problem being thankful if you understand that nothing you have, you deserve. It is all the grace of God. Everything good that's in your life, anything good that's in my life, it is the grace of God. Somebody says, well, now, wait a minute. I had something to do with that. Yes, you did. You responded to God's gracious opportunities and gifts He sent your way. So be thankful for who you are, what you are, and even where you are as of today. And thirdly, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Really. Get off the what about John thing, what about Bob, what about, you know, anybody. Turn your eyes toward Jesus. Follow Him. Love Him first. He has an assignment for you. He has a life for you. If you really want to compare yourself with people who are worse off than you are. There are plenty of those. But there is a God who is working out a unique plan for you, unlike anybody else's plan on earth. And as part of His plan, there will always be people with more of what you want and less of what you have. But you really are unique, and God's plans for you are unique. So comparing makes no sense, and it's actually an insult to your Heavenly Father, who provides everything that His children need. Bottom line, He cares for you. Bottom line, God knows you at your worst, but He provided for you the very best in the sacrifice of Jesus. So let's get off the treadmill of comparing and competing. Sure, you may not be the world's most notorious sinner, but you still need abundant grace. And no, you may not be the world's most gifted person ever, but you can still make more of a difference in this church and in this world. You can make more of a difference than what you dream possible. And the kingdom of God is advancing one life at a time. Hey, how did Peter do with this? You think he ever got off the comparison treadmill? I believe he did. And by the way, he did die a martyr's death. He was crucified, like Jesus, likely in the year AD 64. But he was crucified unlike Jesus, in that when Peter went to his death, he requested that he be crucified upside down. Because he said he was simply not worthy to be crucified in the manner of Jesus. It's interesting to me that in his death, he said, I'm not worthy to be compared to Jesus. You will do yourself a favor. You will do that bumbling consternation of your spirit a favor. You will do your relationship with God a favor if you will dare to not compare. Give God permission to bless and use other people. Feed that spirit of gratitude. Turn your eyes toward Jesus. Listen to his fresh words to you today. Ronnie, you follow me. Stop going, well, what about Kim? What about Glenn? What? Ronnie, you follow. We're not competing with anybody. You have gifts. You have assignments. You have opportunities. I'm asking you to be faithful in what I'm inviting you to do. Okay? All right. Why don't you get out your order of worship, please? You'll notice on the order of worship, you'll see a communication card. And on that communication card, it's a convenient place for you to indicate if you would like to speak with somebody here about baptism, you want to talk to somebody here about identifying with our church, becoming a member here, or if you would like to submit a prayer request. And if you've not already filled that communication card, please take a moment, do so, fill it out. When you finish, pass it to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers will collect those cards here in just a moment, okay? So take your time filling out the cards. When you finish, pass them to the aisles. Our ushers will collect those in a moment. All right, if you would right now, go ahead and bow. Let me lead us in prayer, then we'll sing our concluding song. Lord God, we all compare. We've all done it, and when I do, I'm beating somebody up, myself, others around me. You know, why can't you be more like fill in the blank? Or, Lord, I'm angry at you, shaking my fist in your direction, saying, I don't want my life. I want somebody else's. It is tormenting to be constantly aware of what someone else has that we don't, and that we just cannot have in some way. You've not gifted us in that particular direction. Nobody has the whole package. Everybody's got some pain. And Lord, I believe this morning that your Spirit is pointing out some things that would keep us from walking the fulfilling, joyful life that you have for us, the grateful life. And so, Lord, personally, and I hope I'm speaking for this group today, we thank you. Thank you for my calling. Thank you for my gifts and my opportunities and how you have provided for me. And Lord, help us to be faithful and appreciative of those many gifts and kindnesses from you. Would you set us free from the treadmill of comparison? Set us free in the love of Jesus. That's what I want to pray about right now. In Jesus' name, amen.